Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this broadcast of Interview Friday do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT is not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
It's the first drink, it gets you drunk. One sip and you're sunk. Keep track, try to stop, but you knock them back till you drop. It's the first drink, get you drunk. It ain't fair play, it's your hard luck. If your life is on the brink, blame it all on the first drink. It takes three or four red beers in the morning just to prime the pump. Couple cups of coffee laced with brandy just to wake you up. Half a dozen
And now, from the studios of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting and Take12Radio.com on your internet dial, here's the Monkey Man.
Oh, what in the heck? What in the world? What in the heck? What are you doing? Welcome. Welcome to Take12Radio.com, of course, on your internet dial. I am your host, the very opinionated, usually always right, at least in my own mind, the Monty Man, and I am so glad that you have joined us today here at KHLT Recovery Broadcasting, broadcasting to you from the backyard swamps of Albany, Oregon, beautiful downtown Albany, Oregon. Okay, it has been an exciting week. It has been really a powerful week for the Monty Man and for our show, and I hope it has been for you too. But let me tell you, the week started out, and I say started out because Sunday is the first day of the week. For those of you who are ignorant about that, and that isn't an insult, that just means you don't know. Sunday started out with a wonderful, wonderful opportunity I was given to be on Rum Radio. And rumradio.org actually is the website address. I want you to know that. I want you to memorize it. I want you to write it on a piece of paper. I want you to swallow it. I want you to keep that at the forefront of your mind. Rumradio, rumradio.org. Joseph G., who is the facilitator, the owner, the broadcaster, the interviewer extraordinaire, if you will, of Rum Radio, asked me to come on his show, and he interviewed the Monty Man. I mean, is it okay to talk to myself in the third person? I guess so. And it was just a hoot. We just had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And that's how the week started. And then many of you know that we ran a broadcast on Wednesday called God and the Potty Mouth Part 1. I put up a question on our radio station's Facebook. By the way, the address for that is facebook.com/Take12Radio, the number 12. And I said, this was my question, which ended up becoming expanded, is why do Christians that are on social networking sites and in recovery settings, i.e. 12-step meetings, feel like they have to use foul language and profanity to get their point across? It confuses me, and it wasn't a statement of judgment. It wasn't a statement of ridicule. What it was an observation, and I wanted to know your point of view about it. And then it grew into a discussion of why does anybody do that? And I got some interesting comments. It was really, really fun. It was healthy conversation. It was great. So we did a show on it, the first show, and you could go back and listen to it. Wednesday show broadcasts all week. Just go to the Wednesday link at take12radio.com. And it's part one, and it's talking about foul language. There's a difference between foul language and pornography. Listen to me. foul language and profanity. They're two different things. They sound similar, but they're two different things. Next week, next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be talking about profanity and why we feel like we have to use that. But the most honest answer I received was a lady who loves God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. But she said, "My wounds are so raw. If I use foul language or profanity, it keeps other people at arm's length from me." And I never thought of that before. I thought, you know what? She's got a broken heart. And she's in pain, and she doesn't know how to receive other people into her life at this point, so she keeps them at bay by using profanity. What an honest answer. That's the kind of stuff that I can really absorb, because we're all about wanting people to get well and people getting healed from their wounds. But anyway, go back and listen to that show, God in the Potty Mouth. That's just a hook statement. We're really not condemning anybody. So then we have that. Then had an interesting conversation with some other people this week in the recovery treatment field that are just bizarre. They're just not getting it. I will tell you that my guest today, Joseph G. of rumradio.org, he gets it. He gets it. And let me tell you what I mean by that. there is a statement in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous that I just love. And it reflects what statements in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says, this is what it says. It says, "That tired old lie, once an addict, always an addict, will no longer be tolerated by society or the addict, him or herself. The lie is dead. We do recover." Now, that goes against everything that modern 12-stepology talks about. I'm not interested in modern 12-step programs. I'm interested in what works, and that would be old school, coming from the mothership, if you will, of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm talking about pseudo-sponsors. I'm talking about the founders. And I got to tell you, will somebody please open up their big book once in a while? Will somebody please apply and implement the 12 steps in their lives? They're crying out loud. If you don't want to do a 12-step program, why are you in a 12-step fellowship? That's my question. So, the big book of AA talks about how hundreds, and now it's thousands, of people have recovered. Please, somebody go into your literature and start highlighting the word recovered, past tense, please, would you? From a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I'm not going to get into an argument with you guys of whether you still have the disease or the illness or all that. You know, that's not important to me. What's important to me is that we recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and we're able to live our lives anew, hopefully through the power and love of a loving God. Joseph G. gets this. Many of you, Chris Schroeder gets this. Dr. Alan Berger gets this. Dan Griffiths, A Man's Ways to the 12 Step, he gets it. So many people don't. And it's not your fault. You have been taught with backwards thinking. We have become man-centered in our 12-step fellowships, not God-centered. We have been taught things like 90 meetings in 90 days, that'll keep you sober. Meeting makers make, are you kidding me? Meeting makers make it? If that was the case, I'd just go to my Rotary Club meeting or my adult Boy Scout sponsorship program or the Lions Club or church or my local AA meeting or NA meeting or Celebrate Recovery, whatever. I'd just attend, sit there, and then I'd stay sober. Let me ask you guys something real quick. If you go to get your pilot's license, and you go to an airline, and you go to the school, and you sit there day in and day out, and you listen to the lectures on how to fly a plane, and you never crack the book. When they give you the key to that Cessna out there in the runway, What do you think's going to happen? You're either not going to even know how to turn the key on, or you're going to crash and burn. That's what's going to happen. So, I mean, that's just using logic. Come on, use your heads. All right, okay. I know. Some of you have written me in the last 8 years that says that I'm the Howard Stern of recovery radio. Some have said that I am the Michael Savage of recovery radio, or the Rush Limbaugh of recovery radio. Am I talking about conservatism? Sure I am, because I'm a conservative. But my guest today, I would say, is the Mark Levin of recovery radio. He speaks the truth. He is not afraid to put it out there. And he has a heart and a passion for people to recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And he believes in sponsorship, which tells me he believes in accountability. He's got a radio program, much like ours, called Rum Radio. And I'm going to bring him on as soon as we do a little housekeeping here. We got a PSA to run and a promo. And then we'll come back. My guest, Joseph G., a remarkable man, a man who is giving of himself, of his finances, his time and effort, and should not and will not be ignored here at Take12Radio.com. We'll be right back.
Now here's a message from Alcoholics Anonymous. I guess I called AA because alcohol didn't work anymore. It had always given me a sense of meaning to my life, my drinking. I called AA and I didn't know what to expect. I certainly didn't expect any cheerfulness. But that's what I got. The people had humor, and they seemed to be at ease with themselves. I hung around. I feel much more comfortable with myself and with the community of people around me.
AA. It works. Look us up in the phone book or check your local newspapers.
Let's walk through the Big Book. Join Chris Schroeder and the Monty Man for this in-depth journey through the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. As one of the most sought-after circuit speakers in the world of the 12 steps, Chris will be walking us through line by line, page by page, of this wonderful book that has meant so much to so many people who have recovered from the disease of alcoholism. If you've never studied the Big Book, or even if you have but would like a new, refreshing approach, join us here at Take12Radio.com for an exciting, educational, and spiritual look into a plan for living that can be applied and implemented into the lives of anyone who is willing to recover from alcoholism.
Hello, this is Dr. Alan Berger, author of 12 Stupid Things That Mess Up Recovery. You're listening to Take12Radio.com, featuring recovery talk and positive music.
At 20 or 30, you're feeling flirty, ready for a day.
Yeehaw! Yes, indeed.
Raggedy Ann, double gin in hand, looks like a soulmate, so you sat down in a blackout.
Oh, I love that. That gets you drunk. Yeah, I don't even know if I agree with that. Is it the first drink that gets you drunk, or is it the first wrong thought? Oh, boy. I'll probably get a lot of emails from the show today. I am on one of those chipper moods here. I got to tell you, there is a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on here at Take12Radio.com. And I want to tell you really quickly before I introduce our guest today, a great new site that I think is it's really taking off, and it is just tremendous. The Posting Board. The Posting Board is treatment's one-stop resource site. No more surfing the web for fragmented pieces of information. The Posting Board is here to meet the needs of those who give so much of themselves to others. They know the effort and energy it takes to work with patients and their families. Time is a valuable commodity, not to be spent searching for puzzle pieces. The Posting Board is committed to being a resource in connecting all things treatment. This is some of the stuff you can do on the Posting Board. You can search for employment. You can post an open position of employment. Read mental health and substance abuse news articles. Find upcoming conferences and trainings in your area. Search for qualified mental health and substance abuse professionals and programs. Find inspirational readings and spotlight your own program happenings. You will find all you are looking for as a mental health and substance abuse professional working in the treatment field on the postingboard.com. All right. This is going to be cool, you guys. This is a guy that I have just a ton of respect for. He doesn't mince words, and he has a powerful, and I'm going to just come out and say it, ministry. He ministers to the hearts of people. He believes in sponsorship. He believes in accountability, and he believes in the program of 12-stepology that worked so very well in the days of the 90-plus success rates before we started chopping it to pieces and tickling itching ears and making it to the point where people are dying out there. Joseph G. is the facilitator, owner, operator, and broadcaster of rumradio.org, or rumradio.org. Joseph, welcome back to Take 12 Radio, buddy.
Thank you, Monty. That was very, very nice. You said a lot of really positive accolades. It's really quite humbling, but that's enough about me. Would someone else like to talk about me?
I love it when you say that.
I'm so excited from that introduction. I can't wait to see what I have to say.
See, yeah, you even sound a little like Mark Levin. I love it, man. What in the world got you into this stuff already? What, it wasn't that you were such a great guy, right?
No, not at all. let me start with this, Monty. It's from our preamble. It's in How It Works in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. By the way, my name is Joseph G., and I'm a refugee from several 12-step programs. If you can overdo it, abuse it, and do too much of it, you can sign me up. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. There's always that will not or cannot give themselves to this simple program. They're not at fault. They seem to be blonde that way. There are those who suffer from grave, severe, and emotional disorders, mental and emotional disorders. They, too, get well if they have capacity to be honest. That's as simple as it gets, and it really works. It's a simple program, but it's not easy. And that's really the linchpin
mm-hmm.
recovery, the fact that it's not easy. It's required. Things are required. Actions are required. And, you know, basically, when it comes to my own self-improvement, I'm lazy. I'm going to take the easy way. Now, to answer your question, how I got started with this, I had gone to a meeting, a workshop with Hamilton B. And he had written a book. He was in my home group in Austin, St. Teresa's. Hilltoppers. And he had written a book, and it was called 12-Step Sponsorship, How It Works. A little background on Hamilton is a very smart fella, highly intelligent, highly educated. I believe he's a Cambridge graduate or one of the Ivy League schools, and credentials, letters after his name, all of that, and I went to the workshop, and I got the book, and he signed it for me, and it's one of those books, it was a great idea, I liked what he had to say, and I put it up on the shelf for later digestment, and of course, it's one of those books, and Life on Life's Terms, somehow it fell out of the bookshelf and into my hands, and I needed to get to know more about, I was prompted to learn more about sponsorship. That was one aspect of it. I go, wow, this is great stuff. This is, I got years in the program. I don't know any of this. You know, like I tried to get the program of Alcoholics Anonymous through the process of called osmosis. You know what osmosis is?
Yes, I do. Explain it to the listeners.
Osmosis is when you sit in meetings of recovery meetings, and you're hoping that if you go to enough meetings that what people are going to say, the message is going to come to the floor, up the legs of your chair, up your backside, and into your head, and you're going to get it without actually having to do any work. And you know what? Sometimes it kept me sober for the longest period of time. I'm a one-chip wonder. Now, that's almost got a deleterious sound to it sometimes when you say that. The reason why I was a one-chip wonder is because I talk. I'm a talker. In the first 90 days of coming into this thing, I knew everything you needed to know. Surely I needed everything I needed to know, and I was going to tell you how it worked and why it worked. Knew it all. So now, you know, when the temptation would come, I was afraid to go drink because I would be too embarrassed to go back up and turn a wet one in for a dry one. I don't like that term, but that's what they use, that I'd have to take that walk of embarrassment up, and after all my blabber, I would have to pick up a chip and go, oh, it was all just hot air, wasn't it? And I couldn't do it. Of course, things have changed. I tell people now, some people don't know me. They don't like me. Some people get to know me. Now they don't like me. It's none of my business what you think of me because you think so little of me anyway. It's not in stature, surely in time. The only time anybody's ever thinking about me is if I give them a resentment. And if you give an alcoholic a resentment long enough, you can eventually get free room in his head and build on a garage.
That's good. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that you were going to say something, Mommy?
No, I was just going to say, are several garages.
Yeah, it depends. Oh, I can tell you a story about that one. Guy with 44 years, but that's maybe later on. I'm not a big proponent of the number of years someone has, which is good, and it's nice to, you know, to become an old-timer, you don't drink and you don't die. So there's not really much required of you. So, but you gather a lot of lint along the way. What I look for in someone with long-term sobriety is, are they living life like a loose garment? Is life and tolerance their code? Are they growing spiritually? Are they helping the next sufferer? That's what I look for.
Mm-hmm.
Number of years is really not, so what? Thank you, you did really well, you've gotten old.
Yeah.
Have you grown up, though? You have to grow old, but you don't have to grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up. That's what I'm looking at. Well, most of you folks don't know, but I've lived through some tragedies while I was going through this osmosis process. It's life on life's terms. And I've had two daughters die from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, which is a tragedy. Most people don't have to suffer. A lot of folks lose a child, losing two. Some have lost more, but it's fairly rare. And it was my way of trying to turn a ultimate tragedy into something positive. I've had a sponsee die also under my tutelage from anaphylactic shock.
Hmm.
So I've experienced quite a bit of death in the rooms. If you've been in any length of time, you'll see it happen. Some people cannot give themselves to this simple program. My sponsee, he knew to drink again was to die, and he drank again, and he died. But he knew that going in. You know, and recovery is really about, to me, it's free agency, free will. Everyone makes a choice. Sponsors give suggestions. Suggestion is nothing more than a subtle command. The ripcord, my friend, is in your hand. To pull or not to pull is your choice, not mine. I do the next right thing because it's the next right thing to do, to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. But I can't play God. I can't get you sober, and I can't keep you sober. My main concern is my sobriety and my recovery and my ability to help the next suffer. As far as you're concerned, I'll put as much effort into your recovery as you do, no more and no less. So the next thing that prompted me into Rum Radio was, you know, after Hamilton B, and I read the book. Wow, I read it cover to cover, and I go, this is great stuff. This is really, you know, I was at Post Oak here in Houston, and their deal was a step a month. We're in the step a month club. And that was the way we did business here. When I was in Austin, the deal was if someone came up to you and offered to be your sponsor, you didn't walk away from them. You ran away from them. Ah, that's program. Of course, page 89 of the Big Book says, go find a prospect and start working on it.
Yeah.
We don't, that seems to be, you know, that oblique sentence seems to be, seems to have disappeared in most people's eyes.
Yes, it has.
So what I've realized is that, well, wait a minute, we've turned sponsorship into a dating program. we're just so unique and special, you know, because I suffer from terminal uniqueness. I have the delusion of mediocrity. So there's only this one guy that's in the whole world that's going to be able to sponsor me, that I'm going to be able to relate to and make me complete. Sounds like dating. I call it the unicorn of sponsorship. I got to go out and find this unicorn. So I go to a lot of meetings and listen intently to what they're saying. And when something resonates with me, that's the guy. Of course, I know nothing about him. I don't know if he's just got a good AA rap that's been polished over the years because he's not doing anything else but being a lounge lizard and living in the meetings, and he's able to regurgitate some of the finer points at will. I have no idea. You know, does he have a sponsor? Does he stress the steps? You know, what's his spiritual program look like? Is he available for telephone calls and meetings? I know none of this. All I know is I need a sponsor. I put it to you this way. I put this on the website, how to find a sponsor. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I need a sponsor because I'm ready to go. Manny, Mo, or Jack. It must be Mo. I've had too many, and I don't know Jack.
You're a nut.
So I go grab this guy, and hey, will you be my sponsor? And he looks at me intently, and you know, and then I get the rundown, what the common vernacular is, you know, well, okay, and I just heard this recently in primary. Well, you know, I went to a lot of meetings, and that's what was able to work for me. I went to a lot of meetings, and that's what he was still telling his new sponsee, and I'm sitting there right in front, you know, to me, all this stuff a God deal. You know, I just happened to be right in the right spot at the right time. So I introduced myself. I gave him a rum radio card and told him, suggested both of them to take a look at it and that this would be a help to both of them. And it's not this fellow's fault. He doesn't know
right
what not to do. Nobody's ever. See, the problem is if you really want to get sober bad enough, and a lot of folks do, it doesn't really matter what the sponsor does or doesn't do. Even had a conversation on Facebook with an old timer, 44 years, and she took exception. I send these out on Facebook. I use Facebook like a wasn't intended. I'm always shocked that they hadn't clipped my wings yet, but they haven't, so I send out these missives. You got to be a little neurotic anyway to do what I do. Most people don't have the time, the energy, or the self-determination. So people are taken back by this, and they're not sure how to, you know, is this promotion, and that's against our traditions, and who is this guy, and I'm not going to look. I kind of look at it, you know, like the brazen image, you know, when Moses put the brass image of a snake out in the middle of the desert in the camp and said, look, you're getting bitten by poison snakes. If you look upon this brazen, the brass image of a snake, the poison will not affect you anymore. And, you know, some folks wouldn't look. I'm not going to raise my eyes and look because that stuttering old man over there, I don't like him. I don't like the stuttering old fool in the corner who's taking us out in the middle of the desert and we're going to die out here. Now he wants me to go look at things. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to raise my eyes. How do you like that?
Wow.
I'm not going to look.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look.
Yeah.
And this is human nature. This isn't about alcoholics or any kind of addictions. This is just human nature.
Oh my gosh. Joseph, I've got to chime in here. You are so right about that. I don't think there's such a thing as a normie. I think everybody's got something. And this whole attitude of well, you know, it's because I'm an alcoholic, or it's because I'm a drug addict, or it's because I'm a sex addict, or whatever it is. No, you, okay, and I know I'm going to get some email on this one. No, it's because you have a sin nature, and self-centeredness and selfishness is the root of your problem here, and your separation from God. It has nothing to do with what physical or mental malady you have. It has to do with your nature.
Amen. I define pride. I used it at my church. A guy grabbed me on it one time, and I bring it up all the time. I said, "What is?" Because we talk about pride all the time. It's in. We use that on the fourth step, the seven deadly sins, and we do that. We say sin. Everybody winces at a sin, like, you know, oh, well, we can use the word sin, but they just are. They're there. They've been there for millennium. It's okay. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
It's been developed over thousands and thousands of years. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Take a look, and you use the spirit of it. You don't have to use the letter. But pride is the number one deadly sin. And I go, well, why pride? Because I define pride as the disavowment of God or the need thereof.
Yeah, it's man's declaration that he doesn't need to have God.
He doesn't need or disavows the existence.
Yeah.
Look, God, I know you're there, but, you know, I can handle this on my own.
Yeah.
Or you're not there, so, hey, I got to depend on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Natural man has been an enemy to God and has been so since the fall. And thus, pride will always go before the fall. I always tell him that natural man has been an enemy to God and has been since the fall. It's the fall of Adam. And the winter doesn't look much better.
Does anybody ever say you got 1,000 of them, dude?
I even close some of my shows like Jimmy Durante and Good Night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
I love it.
get back on topic with sponsor. This is what you might hear in meetings. And this came from, I think it was Michael M. But on the website, we have taking someone through, both in written and in video, of taking someone through all 12 steps using just the big book in 24 hours. Now, you don't have to do it in 24 hours, but the tool is there in case you need it. And you could take 2 days, you take a week, whatever you feel is necessary at the time. But you might come across a time when somebody needs to get through the steps in 24 hours. And you know what? That's more than possible to do that.
Absolutely.
They used to be able to, you couldn't go to a meeting until you worked the first couple steps, at least the first two and maybe three. They called it the surrender. You had to surrender yourself to God, so that was a complete surrender. So, that, you know, we had to give up the fact that we were not God, that we can't play God, and that it's not going to work until we give it back to God. And that we do have a problem, and that he is the solution. And until we did that on our knees, you couldn't go to a meeting. And then the restitution steps, there only had 6 at the time from the Oxford group, was done within a matter of days. And then you went to the hospital, because that's where the most fertile ground was for the guys going through the detox at that time. They go to detox, get well, and go out drinking again, because they didn't die. So now, okay, now I can drink again. I feel a little better. So a drink's not going to hurt me. We can't bring to mind with the same impact from a day, a week, or a month ago how desperate we were. That's a disease of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you would... So now we've strung this thing out. You know, keep coming to meetings. Keep coming back. Meeting makers make it. You know, meeting makers don't make it.
No.
We've gotten a spin-dry cycle going on, you know, and it's like the frog sitting in a pan of hot water. The heat keeps getting turned up. We keep losing more people to the disease of alcoholism, and nobody's yelling. Nobody's saying, hey, wake up. The emperor has no clothes on.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what you hear in meetings. Hey, will you be my sponsor? Sure, I'll be your sponsor. Let me start with this, what a sponsor does not do. Now, those in the program are unaware of this information would be willing to be honest about their inability to properly serve, while it might cause some inconvenience for the newcomer, at least he would get the message that he needs to look elsewhere for the help he desires. The question is loaded with thousands who will happily take on the role of sponsor and then not only fail to deliver the information, it's on page 94, but in fact deliver an entirely different package of information, which often sounds something like this. Sure, I'll sponsor you. Here's my number. Call me every day. You'll need to do 90 meetings in 90 days because meeting makers make it. Don't drink, no matter what. But if you're thinking about drinking, think the thought all the way through. Remember, your last drink. And call me before you do it. You're not allowed to have sex or make any major decisions for a year. Make sure to avoid people, places, and things. Other than that, take what you need and leave the rest. And bear in mind, it is a selfish program. And at some point down the road, we'll talk about taking the steps.
Oh, boy. You know, there is so much poison in that.
Yeah, can you hear it?
Yeah. There's so much poison in that statement.
Yeah, we're killing them.
Yeah, we're killing them. And, oh, geez. You hit the nail right on the head, and a lot of people are going to be gone. They get very defensive about this. They get very protective about it, and I understand that. But you know what? A lie is not palatable unless it sounds really good. And there's a lot of stuff in meetings that sounds really good, but will kill you.
Well, Adolf Schicklgruber, if you know who that is, that was Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could you conquer the world with the last name of Schicklgruber? That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
What are you going to call it? Schicklgruber the Great. No, that's not going to fly.
Yeah, or Heil Schicklgruber. Yeah.
Of course, I always like to think Joe Goebbels, his propaganda minister, is the fellow who started Madison Avenue. Hitler said that if the lie is big enough and repeated often enough, it'll have the same validity as the truth.
Yes. Yes.
And that's oftentimes we find ourselves. So I had he was my sponsor for a short period of time. He had Jimmy Kay from a local group here, Lamplighters, and he heard me promoting sponsorship. I was doing a sponsorship workshop at the Post Oak Club in Houston. It's one of the premier clubs. It's the doctors, lawyers, Indian chief clubs, which was nice because it brought in some of the most attractive middle-aged women in town. We had Bentleys. We even had a Rolls Royce parked out front there. Let me tell you, not quite a 24-hour club, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it had the nicest bathrooms that I'd ever been in an AA club.
Oh, gee.
It was like that leather upholstery and video and the whole nine yards. Wi-Fi, yeah, they had it all. I eventually got banned from there. Of course, I didn't quite fit in. If you want to get banned from an AA club, carry the message. They'll find you.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, if you want to get banned from one of those things, crack the book open and start reading and not leave things out, and you'll get booted.
People are threatened by it, you know, and God bless them. You know, they grew up a certain way, and it got them sober. So they're kind of locked into the fact that it worked for them, and they discount the fact that it's not going to work that way for everyone.
Well, don't you think, Joseph, that this is just my take on it? I got to tell you, people that just go to meetings, never crack the book, never apply and implement the steps, or they think there's power in the steps when the steps are there to show us our need for a power. And sometimes I think they ought to take the steps off the wall because people think that they're working them just by looking at them. But don't you think that there's a lot of people in 12-step fellowships today that aren't truly alcoholic are narcotic addicts, and they maybe they're abusers or heavy drinkers. The Big Book talks about that very clearly, and they just have to grow up, or they just need to be in a fellowship where there's some camaraderie, and they get to hear people share about their day and all that stuff, and they do really well, and they do service work, and it keeps them sober. And I don't think they're really alcoholic. I think they're alcohol abusers or alcohol or heavy drinkers, and they just have to keep busy or live in this altruistic plane, and they do fine. There's others of us, though, that are the real deal, that the allergy of the body, dealing with that isn't enough. The obsession of the mind has to be dealt with. There's a spiritual malady going on. And for us, those things won't work. We have to go deeper than that.
Oh, there's no. I would even go even further than that in my experience. I was sweet 16. That means I had 16 years of continuous sobriety, including nights, weekends, and holidays on January 10th this year. So my experience would be some folks are in there that are not even alcohol abusers. They're there because they feel comfortable in a room of orphans.
Yeah, I agree.
I would tell you this, though. They're welcome.
Absolutely.
Our third traditions, you know, we read the traditions and the steps off the wall. And if you count on that, you're going to get an off-the-wall recovery.
Yeah, that's right.
The bottom of the third tradition. And I love the second and third tradition, you know, are great. They're all really good, but the second and third really resonate with me is that you're a member if you say so.
Yeah.
So actually, you don't even need the desire to quit drinking. You're a member if you say so. Of course, Groucho Marx said, I won't be a member to any club that would have me as a member.
Yeah.
So if they're willing, if they don't have the disease, and they just want the camaraderie, you know what? And they say they're a member, they're a member.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Put a buck in the hat, clean the ashtrays once in a while when we had that, mop the floors. Hey, try to do something. If the best you can do is sit there as a placard, hey, you're welcome there anyway. And I'm okay with that. I believe the traditions, all the traditions, only need to answer one question. Does it divert us from our primary purpose, or does it help us accomplish it? That's it.
Yeah, because our primary purpose trumps everything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what Captain Kirk would say, it's our, prime directive.
Prime directive, sure.
Prime sure. directive, and that's it. And that's a group of drunks have no other reason for being other than to help the next sufferer. That's it. Stay sober and help the next sufferer. That's the whole impetus. That's the whole reason for our being. So as long as that we accomplish that, we're on the right track. And if we can't or we don't, then there's a problem. And so I would do, get back on topic. So I was doing a sponsorship workshop at Post Oak. None of the cliques would back me up, but they let me at least do the room and use his book. You know, I had to show them about how the book followed the traditions and the Big Book and all of that. So they agreed to that. Very very small turnout. The most I ever had was I think about 12. I did every Saturday at 10:30 in the morning for a year. Now my first one I had these really great posters planted. I went around and announced it and blah, 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 and did all that. And I'm driving into the group, and here I got in my mind, I'm picturing the parking lot's going to be filled, and the band's going to be playing, and the flags are going to be waving in the parking lot. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. In the parking lot, I'm the only car in there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, reality. Oh, there's the bite, you know. So I got it. But, you know, five or six folks showed up, and we did the first lesson. I had a couple sponsees, which showed, not even all my sponsees. I don't entourage my sponsees. I, you know, they come and go as they will. I just take them through the steps. That's my deal. I try to get them to a point where they make their own decisions, and they depend on God. They're not depending on me.
Right.
They're there if they need it. But my job as a sponsor is to getting into a conscious contact with their creator and to depend on the fellowship, not the sponsor.
That's right.
So I have one guy there, and, you know, Dan, and he really liked it. He was a ship's captain, like Joe Hazelton. Real bright guy, chronic relapser. Took him under my wing. It was like, 5 years was the most he ever got, in and out since 94. And he liked that. He liked the passion of it. Oh, that the we were the point of the sword. And eventually, you know, every Saturday like that for a long time, maybe I missed one or two in the whole year, and it was starting to diminish. It wasn't building, and I was going to close it, and I was contemplative about it, prayerful, and the message I got was, as long as one guy showed up, I was going to keep that going.
Mm.
Just one. If you think you can change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. You can only change the world one man at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the man that makes the change is the sponsor, not the sponsee. Because the sponsor is giving of himself, and that is not his natural way of dealing with the world. That is the change right there. So by me willing to do that, that changes the world. That I'm willing to do that. And of course, now, if the other guy gets it, that's great. It's a pleasure as a sponsor to watch spiritual light come back into somebody's eyes who is all but dead in the spirit. Paul talks about that, about baptizing the dead. And they were dead in the spirit. You see him? You see these guys come in and the girls come in. They have darkness in their eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul. Make no mistake. And when you start working with someone, and all of a sudden they start to get it, and the spirit comes back on, you could literally see the light coming back on.
Yeah, you sure can.
Right. It's great. A lot of people don't get that. It wasn't you. It was God doing it. But you know, you had a little bit to do it. I say this in one of my church works as a home teacher. I have a partner, we go visit families, and I'll say, they'll want to report, and I said, well, we did 101%. Edwin did 100, and I did all the rest.
So, that's good. That's good.
God did 100, we did 101%. God did 100%, I did all the rest. But it's nice to know that there was, you know, that you had a little part in this man's recovery,
yeah.
And hopefully he was going to pass it on to the next supper. So it's like passing it on. You know, that's how we give back, by passing it on.
Absolutely.
So 2 weeks after I made that agreement that if as long as one man, nobody showed, it was a no-show. And I closed the meeting. That was it. That was the agreement, and I felt comfortable. And then after that, people were coming in looking for the meeting, but, you know, we had closed it. And so while I was doing that, I was going to this other club here, Lamplighters, and Jimmy Kay had heard me talk about sponsorship while I was promoting it. And he said, wow, what a great idea for a website. I says, I don't know, Jimmy, that's a lot of work and a lot of effort. Oh, no. He says, it would be a legacy. Legacy? You know, as you start putting the years on, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, and I'm starting to put the years on. I'm looking at the clubhouse from the back nine now, and I'm going, legacy. That word has a ring to it now. And you know, sometimes I consider, you know, when I'm dead, you know, and I'm laying in my coffin, and my friends and family are passing by, and they're looking down at me. You know what I want them to say, Monty?
What?
Look, I think he moved.
I've thought that before, man. I'm looking at people. That's good. So you did this web. You took off with this idea. I mean,
yeah, and I started writing to it. You know, I just I wanted to use Hamilton B's book as a template. but I really like what he had to say. I like the Joe McHugh book too, The Steps We Took, and I use some of that, Drop the Rock, or Messages from the Hearts in there. So I've used other information, but I like Hamilton's real, it's all big book, and I like the 12 and 12 also. Some big book thumpers, they dismiss the 12 and 12. I don't know why they do that. The last page on 164 is real explicit about that. This book is only meant to be suggestive. We know so very little. More shall be disclosed to both you if your own house is in order. So we know so very little. So why dismiss the 12 and 12?
Yeah, and
you only know a little. So what do you want to do? No less?
I don't like it when people dismiss it either. I mean, I understand that the instructions on how to work the steps is in the big book, but if you don't continue on with the 12 by 12, you're going to miss out on some really good meat.
Good information. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, it, you know, it's the experience of the first 100 from actually working with the book and see what worked and what didn't work and all that. You know, the power of that experience and understanding, it's essential. Step five, until we've spoken with complete candor to someone and they've done the same with us, we still didn't belong. Step five was the answer. It was the beginning of a true kinship between God and man. So not only are you supposed to speak a fifth step, you're supposed to hear a fifth step. Who hears the fifth step? The sponsor hears the fifth step, and until you've heard a fifth step, you still didn't belong. You were still circling the field, waiting to run out of spiritual gasoline, and then it was another crash and burn. The six and seven in the big book, you could cover it with one hand. It's two small little paragraphs. Now, step 12 brings it more to light. You know, the way it's ideals and how that works, and, you know, we're supposed to strive, but this is, you know, we can do the. So there's so much. There's so much in the 12 and 12. I like to think of it this way on a spiritual basis. In the mouth of the second witness, the matter shall be established. Or in the matter of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established.
Uh-huh.
The 12 and 12 is the second witness to the big book. It validates the big book.
Yeah, I agree with that. We've got about 10 minutes left. So I want to let you know that because this is such good stuff. But go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm also, I don't know if you know this, I'm also a member of On and On Anonymous.
Me too, brother.
I tell people, you know, I have so many words and so few thoughts.
Yeah.
So we put that together. I got a hold of Hamilton because I didn't want to, you know, I was looking at the book and going, I don't want to paraphrase this stuff if I don't have to. It's going to be hard enough to do it. So I got a hold of Hamilton through friends, and he's still in Austin, and I told him what my plan was, and he says, no, that's fine, as long as you give me credit. It's a Hazleton publication.
Right.
Hamilton B., 12-Step Sponsorship, How It Works by Hamilton B. And he says, as long as you have me on the front page acknowledging the work, he says, you're more than free to use whatever you need. And that's how we got started. And little by little, I put it together. And now my sponsor at the time, Bob B., out of Post Oak, and I'm putting this together. He's had like 34 years. And I go, Bob, as I'm putting this together, take a look at it. Make sure I'm coloring within the lines. You know, that reminds me, I to produce a coloring book for alcoholics where you don't color inside. All the coloring has to be done outside the lines.
I like that.
So I called Bob. I said, Bob, take a look at where I've gotten so far. So a month, and I asked him, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. On the fifth month, I said, Bob, you know, you haven't looked yet, and I really like to get your input to see if I'm... And he turned around to me. He says, now that you're bugging me, I'm never going to look. And then I realized this is a threat to... You know, this is threatening people. I don't know why it's threatening people, but it is. It's a big threat. Part of it, and what I've come to realize, is that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and dominions and wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is envy. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? How did this schmuck come up with this, and we didn't? One, two. Even though he did come, if we did come up with it, we wouldn't put the energy, the time, talent, and treasure into it. But we still resent the fact that you did it.
How do you deal
with that? You don't.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know. What I realize is you can't fight evil with evil. You can only fight evil with good. It's in the scriptures for a particular reason. If I try to fight, you know, I'm the type of alcoholic, you bring a knife, I'm bringing a sword.
Right.
You bring a 30, you bring a 38, I'm bringing a 45. And what I found is that only exacerbates the problem. If someone has a problem with me, I tell them, you know, quick story. I tell this to my sponsees. The secret to life. There's a young man who hears that there's a guru in Tibet, they're always in Tibet, that knows the secret to life. So to get a heads up on his life, he sells his car, sells his home, quits his job, and buys a ticket on a slow boat to China. And, of course, gurus always live on the tops of the very highest mountains. And he climbs this horrendous mountain, bloodied and exhausted. He gets to the little hut and comes in and says, "Master, I understand you know the secret to life." He says, "Please tell me." And he said, "My son, the secret to life is never to argue." And he stops. So the young man is taken back. He says, "Wait a minute. You don't understand." He says, "I quit my job, sold my house and my car. I took a trip on a slow boat to China, climbed this heaven-forsaken mountain. There's got to be more to it than that." And the guru says, "You know, you could be right."
Oh, my gosh. That's good.
And I found that that's a good way sometimes. It's a little passive-aggressive. But, you know, and bless the person. And this is hard for a lot of people to understand. But when you do a certain work, certain things come to you. And part of it is that evil is a necessary evil. Nothing will grow without opposition. And those folks that oppose a better way of doing something, a higher spiritual plane, they cause it to grow that much more.
Yes.
So they're just as necessary as the person... patting you on the back and encouraging you. The people who's trying to stick their leg out and trip you are just as necessary. You can't have one without the other. You can't have dark without light. You can't have pain without joy. You know, all of it. It's all the Asian community. I don't know what the political correct is. Pan-Asian, I think, is the term we're using now. With the yin and the yang. They didn't have Jesus. Jesus is my higher power, and it works really well for me. When I get a sponsee who doesn't come to any agreement, who doesn't know what God might look like, and I explain, trying to describe God was like asking a fish to describe the water it swims in, but he needs to pray, and he can address the prayer to whom it may concern. And that's a good way to get started. Bill W. said this is spiritual kindergarten. But we don't have to stay in kindergarten.
That's right.
We're expected to grow. I got one more statement, and I guess we're getting close. The big book says, our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition. Because I disagree with the word maintenance.
You and I are both on the same page with that. I don't like that word either.
Yeah, the question is, what maintains itself of itself?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing maintains itself of itself. You're either growing spiritually or you're declining spiritually. And if you're declining spiritually, your recovery and eventually your sobriety will become tentative. You're on a you're getting on a very thin ledge. I've seen it. There was a fellow with 44 years. Me and him got into it because of I insisted on talking in a meeting. I kept raising my hands. There was a directed meeting. I raised my hands a couple times, and then he wouldn't let me talk. And finally, I just started talking, introduced, and he stood up from the chair. And like, and I stuck my finger, my arm, like went right across the room and pushed him down from across the room. And he went right down, like there was a hand on the shoulder. He came down and I said my piece, which is hard enough in a crowded room to talk, you know, and then having a conflict going on at the same time. But it was a newcomer and it was important, something important to say. So at the end of the meeting, the guy's got 44 years. I said, Tom, look, I'm sorry, but I really needed to talk. And he just went ballistic. F you. I said, look, Tom, you know, I love you. Merry Christmas. Every time I said that, he told me F you, right? Okay. But, of course, like a good alcoholic I am, now I got this guy by the, I got this guy's chain. And I just, every time I said, I love you, Tom, he would say F you. He got in his car and drove around the parking lot screaming F you at me every time I said Merry Christmas. 44 years of sobriety. What does that tell you? He's living in the meetings. He's a lounge lizard. He's failed to expand his spiritual experience. And, of course, I had room in his head for a year and a half.
No.
And I had a swimming pool in there.
Oh, my gosh, Joseph. Oh, my gosh. Joseph, I we're out of time, and I want to play this thing for you. Folks, if you don't check out rumradio.org, you are missing out. You really are. Some powerful stuff there. And I want to play this promo that we put together as our gift to you for all that you do. And folks, check this out, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap it up. This is the new promo. It's about 57 seconds. So it's radio ready for any radio station that wants to pick it up. It's all ready, and they're very picky about time. So we did that and made sure we stayed under 60 seconds. Here it is, the promo for rumradio.org. To inform, inspire, and empower Alcoholics Anonymous sponsorship locally and internationally to be their very best, both personally and spiritually. This is the mission of rumradio.org, an internet radio program dedicated to carrying the message of recovery to a world plagued by alcoholism and addiction. Alcoholism and addiction is the number one health issue in our world today, and rumradio.org is actively participating in the solution. Interviews with a plethora of people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Live Sundays at 9 p.m. Central Time and rewound again on Saturday and Monday. Tune into 12-Stepology at its best on rumradio.org. Well, there you go.
Well, that was great. I got to tell you something. When I send out my missives, you know, when I send out my introductions on Facebook, you know, what I have playing in the background is Star Trek.
Is that right? Now, isn't that wild? And that, of course, is the...
I'm going to places where no man's been before.
Isn't that amazing? And I was sitting here last night thinking, okay, what kind of music am I using? What can I get permission to use? And it just came to my mind. I thought, okay, I don't want to use Star Trek. I don't want to use the William Shatner or the... you know, I don't want to use the voice part of it. What do I do? And it came to me that the theme to Star Trek the Motion Picture, which is what that's from, and I had to do some editing with it. And I thought instead of saying the mission of Rum Radio is this, I thought I'll start out with what the mission is, and then say this is the mission of. And I just kept seeing William Shatner, I kept seeing Jean-Luc Picard, you know. And I thought, yeah, and I was excited. Last night, I thought, yes, and you know, it's funny how things come together. And it just came together, and it was like, Yeah. I gotta give this to my brother Joseph, man, because I'm so excited about what you're doing. And again, folks, rumradio.org is the website. You need to check it out. You know what? You're either gonna love it or you're gonna hate it. But the thing is, if you will consider what is being said, truly consider it, you just might grow.
Funny. Yeah, that was a god shot. That whole deal with Star Trek, that was a god shot. Make no mistake. It just blew me away when I heard that. I go, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, that's great. Well, check your email because you've got that MP3 in there. And like I said, use it however you'd like to. We're going to be playing it a lot here on our station as well. Joseph, thank you so much for coming on again. It's been a long time since we've had you on, and we're not going to wait that long again. Let's definitely keep in touch. We are kindred spirits. We're definitely colleagues, and we're on the front lines together, brother.
Thank you, Monty. I know you do a great work, and you've been doing this for a while now. You've come through a lot of hurdles to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
No, the passion comes from God. There's no doubt about it. And for me, I'm way over my pay grade with this stuff. This is really a God deal, folks. It's not about me. I make no mistake. This is really God. And why me? I know why me, because God uses the weak things of this world to accomplish his ends.
Yeah, and I want folks to know something. Neither one of us, Joseph or myself, are getting rich off any of this stuff. This is a matter of a passion of the heart to help people get well. And like I said, the lie is dead. We do recover, and we want you out there to know that we love you, that we appreciate you, and it doesn't matter what you believe, where you're coming from, what you don't believe, so forth like that. You can't do anything to our love for you because it doesn't come from us. It comes from the Creator, and we just want the best for you. Joseph from radio.org, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Bonnie. Have a good day.
Okay, stay on the line, Joseph. I'm going to catch up with you here in just a second. Folks, it has been another exciting show. Don't miss out on rumradio.org. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with Joseph G. wishing God's perfect serenity for you and you and you and yours. Bye-bye now.
If your life here on the plate, blame it all on the first train. Blame it all on the first train. Blame it all on the first train.
Well, that was an awesome show, by golly, by George.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Radio.